Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 45 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by my two very best friends, Garrett Drake.
That'd be me. I'm the number one best friend.
And Jacob Alka, the number two best friend.
Hello, I am a best friend, and I am hereby becoming not a best friend. I refuse to be number two.
Okay.
I am stepping away.
So you'll be leaving now.
Yep. Goodbye.
Finally.
So you would rather not be a best friend than be number two best friend?
Yes.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
It's okay. And don't give us any of that first is the worst, second is the best crap, because that does not apply to the situation whatsoever.
Are you sure?
And don't get me wrong, it's okay to be number two, but I want you to always remember you're number two.
What am I to you?
Your papa.
I'm papa?
Yep, your papa best
friend. Well, what is him?
What is
what is him?
See, I don't even want to be your friend if you can't even speak.
Well.
Yeah. We really can't speak proper English on this podcast. It's been over a year and we're still just jumbling our sentences.
Yeah, we don't speak very good.
We don't. Yeah, we don't speak good or anything.
Yeah.
You guys have seen Austin Powers, correct?
Yeah. I've seen pieces of it. I've never sat down and watched
every
an
time
entire movie.
You guys just said number two, I thought of that number two guy.
Yeah, number two. Groovy, baby.
Oh, nice.
Number two.
Yeah.
I loved Fat Bastard.
Yep.
I used to watch clips of him on YouTube when I was in like middle school.
He's hilarious.
Used to laugh.
I think those movies and Dumb and Dumber are my favorite comedies of all time.
They're great.
So good.
They just need to leave Austin Powers alone.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber sequel.
Bad.
It was not good, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Right.
I'll stand by that.
I agree.
I laughed quite a few times during it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, they need to leave Austin Powers alone. Granted, I haven't seen the movies through, so I can't claim to be like a fan, but the funny clips I've seen, I would say I probably would be a fan. So I'm fan enough to say, just leave it alone.
I understand. Yeah. If I had to rank my favorite comedies right now, it would be Dumb and Dumber, the original. Hot Rod is number two, and three would be, This is Spinal Tap.
I haven't seen that yet.
I actually watched that movie in class the other day.
So funny, dude. That's one of my favorite
Hot Rod is great.
It is.
It's so good.
It's a classic.
I haven't seen it in
a
while. Like, I think 2 or 3 years I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's been quite a while.
Yeah. I like play the movie in my head occasionally, though.
I remember there was that one job we were on. We were, you, me, and Paul. You, Paul, and I should say.
Yeah.
We're quoting it all week, and it was great. So, good times.
Hot Rod's a great movie to quote.
It is.
Yeah. I quote Dumb and Dumber quite a bit as well.
Yeah, me too. All those quotes just apply to so many situations in life.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just like, it's like, hey, Paul, do you need this tool or something? Be like, don't even ask, Maggie, just bring it.
That's a classic one.
It is.
This is the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games and other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gentlemen. what even was that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Gentlemen. What did you do in gaming this week?
I did quite a bit, actually.
Yeah?
I've already talked to you a bit about this, but to our friends from the community and to you specifically, Jacob, big surprise here. You may have, if you've kept up with us for a while, specifically last week.
I keep up.
You'll remember that I said, I played a side mission of Metal Gear, and it was kind of fun. And then just randomly, I kind of had the urge to just play it again. And I beat all the main missions. Well, as far as I know, I beat 1 through 50. And I was like, man, I kind of want to just go back and see what it's like to try to S-rank all these missions and complete all the tasks. And it turned out being so much more fun than I was expecting. So I've been going back. I think I'm on mission 8 or 9 now, and I've got S-ranks from 1 all the way till there and completed all the tasks. And it's just weird because it's funny how the game launched in September. Sorry. And in September, you okay over there?
Yeah.
It launched in September, and I was like, man, this is a lot of fun. I really enjoy this. And all of us kind of agreed, yeah, this is fun. And then, as we know, a lot of people got burnt out on it. I never truly got burnt out on it. I just remember something else had come out in October, and other stuff started launching from October all the way through December, and it just took my attention away from it for a while.
I'm trying to think what that was.
I can't remember. There's a lot, though, but I can't even remember. There's a ton. We could just go back to our Let's Plays and see what it was. As soon as our Metal Gear video stopped, whatever's after that is what took my attention away.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to jump back into it because we're waiting for Quantum Break, which launches this week, Tuesday, right?
Yes.
So tomorrow, as when this podcast is up, so tomorrow Quantum Break will be out. And following week is Dark Souls and Ratchet and Clank. Is that correct? Do they come out on the same day?
Yes.
They do come out on the
same
day.
And the Destiny update and the Division update.
Wow, that's a lot. Stuff we will be discussing this evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I meant to say, I think the fact that Ratchet and Clank and Dark Souls come out on the same day is great because they're so drastically different experiences that if you're just like killing yourself in Dark Souls, you're like, I need to take a breather, hop over to Ratchet and Clank and have a good old fun time for a while. So I think that's pretty awesome. I'm definitely going to buy both day one.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like I said, Metal Gear has been so much fun and I haven't once felt fatigued by the gameplay because like we said, we all recognize that the gameplay Metal Gear is just superb. It's just developed exquisitely and it's just been an absolute pleasure trying to complete all these tasks that I never tried before when I originally played these missions. Makes it a lot more interesting. It makes it more challenging in a fun way, not in a frustrating way. And utilizing all the cool gadgets and gear I've, you know, collectively put together over my playthrough has been a ton of fun. And yeah, I'm like still heavily interested in playing it, but like we said, Quantum Break's coming out, and that'll take my attention away from it for a while. And then Dark Souls and Ratchet and Clank, and then shortly after that is what am I doing with this water bottle like it's my my wand or something? This is what happens because I talk with my hands so much. I'm lucky I haven't picked up the candle, but
pour wax on.
Yeah, and then Uncharted and Doom also the same month. Which speaking of Doom, I want to hear your thoughts on that from you gentlemen as well because that's also what I played this week.
Does Doom come out after Uncharted?
I think it comes out. Uncharted is the 10th. I think. Yeah. Doom is the following week, maybe? I keep forgetting exactly what day it was.
Was
Doom the 13th? Sometimes we're so pathetic. We're a gaming podcast trying to inform people, and we can't figure it out.
If May 10th is a
Tuesday, I can look at my phone.
Okay,
you
do that.
The 11th is a Wednesday. The 12th is the 13th. Or the 12th is the Thursday. Then 13th would be Friday.
Okay, I guess this is something we should have figured out before.
Doom comes out on the 13th.
This is classic us right now.
Which is a Friday.
I didn't put when Uncharted 4 comes out.
It's the 10th, for sure.
So pressing.
Okay, so it's 3 days before.
Yeah.
Okay. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's a lot of gaming ahead of us.
I might hold off on Doom till I beat Uncharted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Man. Yeah. I might do that. I don't know. I might have just Doom just in
I'll
case.
I'll probably play Uncharted 4.
Oh, I will for sure. I'm so excited. I don't know. I'll probably be so excited for Uncharted and who knows what our work schedule is going to be with that anyway. So it might be I only have time for Uncharted.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you don't need internet to play it.
Yeah, that as well. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably be in town, but yeah. Did you say you wanted to dive into our thoughts on the
Doom beta? Yeah, sure. We might as well.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's the most fun I've had in a multiplayer shooter in a very long time. It's so I never got into Unreal Tournament, and I never played a Quake or old school Doom or anything like that. So I haven't really played a first-person shooter like this, like where everybody's running the same speed, strafing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reloading.
Yep.
There's power ups everywhere. No mini map. I love it. It's super fun. I think we'll probably go in more depth and stuff, and stuff in our Let's Plays that we're putting up this week about it.
Right.
But me and you are pretty much number one beta players on the planet.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's a shame because, well, actually, the one match we have going up that we'll have commentary included later this week features you having a 24-1 KD ratio?
It's like 25-1 or something around there. Yeah.
Right, yeah. So that was typically how every match went for us. Now, it's funny because I've realized watching a lot of other YouTubers play this beta or at least talk about it, they seem to have the same experience. So.
Okay.
We've been joking the whole time. Like, it's funny because the first night we played, we went undefeated, and we've actually never lost together.
Yeah, we've
never
lost
once.
A match. No.
So we're still undefeated together. I think we played close to 40 matches, which is saying a lot.
Yeah.
And we always won by 25 kills or more, except for like 2 or 3 matches.
Yeah.
But the funniest part is that the first night where we were doing this, we were like, we were beating people so bad that me and Preston were literally laughing maniacally about it. Like, it was the craziest experience I've ever had playing a shooter. And it's a shame because, with the exception of your Let's Play that we're going to include the commentary with, the two that we're putting out with the three of us in it, they were pretty good. We both won, but it didn't really show the extent of what we're like together, which is cool. But it seems like a lot of people have been really good at this game. Like, I know Ali A said he's been doing well. I haven't seen his gameplay yet. And then there's another guy I watch. He's a pretty big YouTuber.
Why though?
I don't know.
Because that's the thing is, like, we're not incompetent gamers by any means, but I just don't know why we're, like you just said, it's not like we're exaggerating either. It's like it wasn't even, that's why we were laughing so hard. It wasn't even a competition.
Right. It was like
it was
a joke.
Just like it was a joke.
Yeah.
We were like laughing. I remember this clip, I think I sent it to you guys. I recorded it on my phone. I was remembering it vividly. We were just laughing maniacally, running down these stairs, and just bodies were flying everywhere. I was throwing grenades. And, like,
it was like
11
kills in a row.
Stuff. Yeah, it was ridiculous. And we were just like laughing while we were doing it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know if just like the people that were participating in the beta just like had never played a game before or something. Because that's what I'm saying. Like, we're, when we play Halo, we get our butts kicked 80% of the time, right, like on a good night. I mean, we're not bad at, I mean, we're not good at, well, you're good at Halo. I'm like,
well, you're
average.
Pretty good too. We're, I would say we're like, games. we're solid Halo players, but we do lose a lot still.
Yeah.
So.
It, because it, that relies on a team. When, like, when we would win by a lot, like, we'd always get in the 20s. Like,
right.
There, it was very few games we didn't have at least 20 kills, and the guys below us would have, like, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
So it's like we would just be dragging the team with us.
Right.
Just like the Let's Play we're putting out later, which I won by, like, 3 kills. Mm-hmm. I dragged the team,
right,
like, through all of that. That just, it's like, no, not even anybody on our team was really doing anything either.
Right.
So... I know that's like super braggy, but it's like I'm genuinely like curious as to why, because I've never played a shooter. Like, when I play Call of Duty, yeah, I do good and stuff, but you know, I get my butt handed to me. But out of 40 matches, we're 40-0.
I know, like, it's insane.
No, yeah, it's just, it's really like, I'm very curious as to why that is.
And we're hoping that that amount, whether it's skill or luck, we don't know, or a combination of the two.
Yeah,
we're hoping that that experience from the beta transfers over to the full game. If not, I'll be a little bummed, but I'm hoping we have that much luck going forward in the full game. Because the funniest part we were laughing about was the fact the first night we went like 15-0 the first night, and you were like, dude, I just realized why we've won so many times. I was like, what? And he was like, it's April Fool's. We started dying laughing. I'm like, that's so true, because this never happens to us in shooters. But safe to say, our conclusion, I would say, was that we just had an absolute blast with it.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord we played well. You'll see more of those Let's Plays this week if you want to get a taste of what it was like for us. But we had a good old time, and unfortunately Jacob was unable to join us, at least when we played together.
Yeah.
But I hope you join us in the full game, Jacob.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it a lot.
What did you play this week, Jacob?
Oh, let's see. I didn't have a whole lot of time to play games this week. I have research papers to do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, are you nearing the end of a semester? Is that correct?
Yes, the end of April.
Okay.
The end of my semester. And I have lots of work to do.
That sounds
I played a little bit of the Division. I'm really sick of the game, honestly. I just want to platinum it and be done.
One more trophy, man.
Yeah,
for me.
I need two more, but one's easy to get. But yeah, I jumped into the Doom beta a little bit. Unfortunately, I was on Xbox because I played Wolfenstein on Xbox back in the day. It was really easy to jump into. I felt like very fun. It's really different from anything I've played so far. And I only played a few matches, so I didn't like get a full grasp on the game.
Right.
I didn't even get the Demon Rune, so it was very fun.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the release May 13th.
Yep.
We did decide that was the correct date.
We just decided.
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
Yeah, we decided when all the games come out.
Yeah.
You know what, guys? I'm feeling good tonight. Uncharted's coming out on Friday.
I would love that.
This
one.
Friday. I don't even know what day of the month that is.
This Friday?
Yeah.
April
8th?
Something.
9th. Maybe. 9th. It's
sure.
The 9th.
We'll
say
9th.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, there's a lot of stuff that happened this week.
Oh, we just, you know, give a crap about what I played.
I thought you already talked about Doom. What else did you play?
I played quite a bit more.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm excited. Let's hear it.
I played Division.
Okay.
Got one more trophy left. Me and Jacob are gonna grind that out together.
Now, what
gotta
do you
kill...
have to do?
I don't even
like
care about my DZ.
Yeah, I don't either.
I just
we gotta kill
it.
20 rogues. So we're gonna get with each other and just go rogue and kill each other.
That sounds nice.
So yeah, we're gonna do that. Then I'll have the platinum, and I'll probably just put that game away for a while.
Yeah.
Then I played some Sly Cooper 2.
Okay, on Vita.
Yes.
All right.
I'm platinuming that game for show. So I'm taking each level, getting all the collectibles per level, and I'm liking it. The collectibles aren't like terribly hidden, so I haven't even used a guide yet. I'm on the third act, and I'm like actually getting all the collectibles myself. Like, you know, they're not super well hidden, but they're, you know, if you just kind of look around, you'll find them pretty easy. And that game's really good. I started out with the first one, and it was fine, but just I have way better memories of the second one, so I wanted to immediately go to that one. So I might go back and play the first one a little bit, but that one did not age as well, in my opinion. Of course, I played Doom. Then I played some... What else did I... Oh, yeah, Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. Can't beat that first boss.
From the DLC.
Yep, man, that thing's kicking my butt big time. So I really want to get through that DLC before Dark Souls 3's come out. Right. So I can, you know, get some practice. But,
yeah,
man, it's kicking my butt. I'm leveled up really nicely as well. So, like, and I've almost killed him, like, 2 times. Like, I got his health down to just a sliver.
Right.
And he just takes me out and just, like, he just has these, like, one-shot hits that they're just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to beat him.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure, man.
I've already done it, so.
Oh, okay.
What kind of build do you like to run in Bloodborne?
You already beat this boss?
Games? What?
You saying you beat this boss?
No, I just want to know what his build is. Oh, what kind of character does he like to play as? Because I think when I played, I had like the, I don't know if it was endurance or.
I'm more of a tank build. Like, I have a high vitality and using Ludwig's Holy Blade. Oh. Yeah. So I'm doing like
the heavy hits.
Yeah. It's fully upgraded with like awesome ruins on it. Like, me doing damage isn't, I just don't think I'm playing too well. Because I'm not in the zone.
Right.
Because, you know, when I platinumed that game, I was doing New Game Plus like it was nothing. Like, none ever. I knew all those bosses so well, it was like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just kind of need to get back in the rhythm. And I fought him at least 30 times. And a couple of times I almost got him. So I just need to kind of just sit down and just like be like, I am going to beat him, you know, before I leave tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it'll probably eventually happen.
Yeah.
But,
It's usually how it goes.
Yeah. I just kind of was giving up on him. I was getting a little frustrated, more so than even when I was playing the first, playing through like the main game the first time. But, yeah, I played that and,
didn't you say you smashed one of your controllers?
Yeah,
I did. First time in a while.
Yeah. First time in like years.
Yeah.
I didn't like break it or anything. Just a little side is popping up a little bit. So thankfully I have like 4 controllers because every time a new color comes out, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I need it.
But, yeah, I'm really excited for Quantum Break. I'll probably be diving into that Tuesday for show.
You and me both.
And I was talking to you about, like, the Xbox takes so freaking long to install.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should just preload the game, but I love having discs because I just love having all my games laid out.
Totally.
So I'm probably just going to end up doing that, but gosh, Xbox games just take forever to
install. They do.
It's ridiculous.
It's definitely a, what's the word I'm looking for? A commitment, for sure. Just waiting it out.
Yeah.
So
it takes forever.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Come on, Xbox.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
It's all right. They'll be all right.
Well, speaking of... Okay. Well, this isn't like a news thing.
Okay.
But you know how there's been rumors of the PS.5 or whatever, 4.5?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They asked Phil Spencer, which he's the head of Xbox, about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something along the lines of, like... We wouldn't do like an increment. Like, if we're going to do something, it's going to be like a full on leap.
Right.
So I think that pretty much outed that Xbox One is going to do like a 0.5 or something.
Interesting.
So, which I think the Xbox over the PlayStation probably needs that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Depending on things, you know, not running as well and the installation process taking as long as it is. I would like to know why that is. I played Far Cry Primal too.
Did you?
Yeah.
When did you play that?
I forgot about that game. No. Okay. I Redboxed it.
Oh, okay.
And that should tell you I already forgot about it. I played it for like an hour.
All right.
It's fine. It's pretty. It's pretty game.
Mm-hmm.
I knew.
It's pretty game.
Yeah. It was fine. Mm-hmm. I was just like, about an hour, I was just like sitting there just like, oh. I'm kind of bored and I never played it again.
That's a shame.
Yeah. It was like, it was fine. It was Far Cry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so Far Cried out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have give it like at least another 2 years before I want to play Far Cry again.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, this is, was not included in kind of what we wanted to discuss tonight, but briefly, I was going to ask you guys, now that we're on the subject, what would you actually like to see in like the next Far Cry 5, for example? What would like... grasp your interest again?
I don't know
because if like they did Tier 2 far away, it's like not even Far Cry, so
right.
Those guys are way smarter than I'll ever be in terms of video game design, so I just hope, you know, they can just do something really unique. I don't know if it's like making environment so unique or like doing something really creative, like a full game kind of like Blood Dragon or something like really crazy, but it seems like they kind of don't like doing that with their main games. They kind of like to be more grounded.
My fear is that I won't say this is the length of their creativity as far as Primal goes, but that already is definitely something unique.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, it got average reviews. Like you said, it didn't hold your interest very long.
It was a fine game. Mm-hmm. I just...
You just...
I don't know if I was...
Far Cry 4 wasn't
that
long ago anyway.
Yeah, no. I'm just... Like I said, I like... On Xbox, I 1,000 Far Cry 3. Mm-hmm. Then, like, within, was it a year or two, Far Cry 4 came out, and then I platinumed that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like I just kind of dabbled in these games. I, like, 100% in them. Like, even played the multiplayer and stuff. Like, I played a ton of these games, and I'm kind of just, like, Far Cry out.
I feel I have no clue what they could do as far as the next one goes, because I feel, like I said, my fear is that their creative side will come out mostly with their side projects like Blood Dragon, and even though that was DLC, that and Primal, and they'll probably just stick to their guns on their main series. I mean, that's me saying that. I could be completely wrong, but I have no clue what I'd like to see in a sequel that would make me like really pumped for it. I'd still play it, but I don't know what would get me like really excited again for it.
Yeah.
I agree.
They're bringing like a big survival mode to Far Cry Primal too.
Really?
Like, to where I think you have to eat and like, if you can get cold and stuff too,
right.
Like it's really hardcore survival.
Speaking of survival, I was reading more details regarding the
Fallout 4's
beta of survival mode, and it sounded so fun to me that I'm totally going to do this whenever I'm not playing something else. Is obviously there's no fast travel, so you have to walk everywhere, which I think is exciting. It's like, man, I got to get all the way from the castle all the way back to Sanctuary Hills just to do this one thing. I'm like, that sounds awesome to me. As of right now, they might change this. The only way to save is when you sleep in a bed. You can't just save manually, which I think is, which I think the guy in the beta who was playing the beta who wrote the article made a good point. He said, I'd like to have the option to turn that setting on, or if I'm like, say like something comes up, oh no, like my sister's choking, I gotta save her life, like, but I'm in the middle of a battle, I can't like save it or anything. I kind of like the fact that it's unforgiving, or it's,
I mean,
like,
that's how games work. I mean, like Resident Evil 4, that's the one off the top of my head, you can only save it typewriters.
All right, see that, like, that's the thing, I'm okay with that because I want it to be as hardcore as possible. And obviously there's the diseases, and he said it was cool how he said how everything affected him. Obviously he said he mostly had to stay hydrated, like every battle he got in he was almost like not dehydrated, but he desperately needed water after each battle, which makes sense. He said he has to drink a lot of water. And he said also stim packs affect your endurance or something. Or they dehydrate you. That's what it is. It's like, well, if you want to heal yourself like all the way right now, it's going to dehydrate you a good bit. So you have to chase it with like a water or two each time, which I think is cool. So I thought that was cool. And there's a lot of little tiny things like that that made it really interesting. Obviously certain foods you have to cook and stuff, but and he said the battles, he said everyone dies realistically now, like if you shoot a guy in the chest two times he's dead, but the same thing can happen to you, which I think is cool. So the battles are a little more brief, but they're more realistic in the sense where like one or two shots depending where it is going to kill someone.
Dang.
But in return, if you get shot like in the neck, you're screwed, which I think is awesome. But the things that stood out to me were obviously having the diseases and the eating and the drinking and the battles being like more realistic. And I want to like stumble upon a group of raiders and be like scared to death to fight them, but also excited to reap the rewards if I succeed.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested that's the way I want to replay Fallout 4, because I love Fallout 4. The DLC I'm still excited for. I'll play through like Far Harbor and stuff on my main character as well, but as far as re-experiencing the game, I think that's the best way to do it. It's basically an entirely new experience, because without the fast travel, the limited saves, all the other stuff they've thrown in, I think just completely makes that experience very exciting again, so I'm pumped for that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Sounds cool.
Absolutely. But as I said earlier, there's a lot of stuff that happened this week. If you guys are ready to just tackle it.
Let's do it.
Excellent. Obviously, the biggest news, at least in my opinion, I'm sure you guys would agree, was all the Final Fantasy stuff that came out of the Uncovered event, hosted by Greg Miller and Tim Geddes of Kinda Funny. Mm-hmm. They did an excellent job. I enjoyed the event. I came in a little late because you guys were texting back and forth about it, like, whoa, this is awesome, that's cool. I was like, man, I got to get in on this. So then I started the stream like when Aaron Paul was on stage talking to them about Kingsglaive.
Yeah, that blew my mind.
But I'll just kind of knock these out one at a time. We'll give our thoughts. But obviously the biggest news is that Final Fantasy officially has a release date, September 30th, 2019.
Yes.
How do you guys feel? 2016. I wouldn't be surprised if they said it at this point.
3 years away. Yep. 2 years away.
But September 30th of this year, how are you guys feeling about that? You guys excited?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
Especially after the event, I think. I mean, like I said way back in the day, I think actually in our 1 year anniversary podcast, I think I had mentioned playing the Final Fantasy demo, the original one that came with what was that Final Fantasy that you bought it with?
Final Fantasy That's the demo, Dusuke. Final Fantasy Zero or something?
Something like that.
Zero HD, PSP game.
Yeah, so I remember talking about that demo a bit, but that demo definitely piqued my interest, but I kind of just stopped thinking about it because we didn't hear anything for so long. But now that they did this event, I will admit that it got me very excited for the game, especially after playing the new demo they released, which we'll discuss. But
Platinum.
You know why I'm excited?
Why is that?
It reminds me of Kingdom Hearts.
I know.
It plays just like
I want to hear your thoughts on that demo, but I'm going to go in order here based on how they kind of announced everything, and I want to get your thoughts on everything because I really haven't discussed much of this with you. I just know we all watched the event.
Yeah.
But I'll kind of go one at a time here, and we'll get going. But this comes from Royal Flush Magazine. Gamer Gal is her name. Quote says, here we go. Got to work on my breathing.
Okay.
I could be like, in between every few words, I think I'd be able to read this easier.
Okay.
Quote, Square Enix also announced Brotherhood Final Fantasy 15, which is a new anime series that consists of five standalone episodes that that delve into the extraordinary friendships between Crown Prince Noctis, I think that's a cool name, by the way, the main character, and his three comrades, Ignis. Gladio, and Prompto.
Yep.
Cool. Brotherhood Final Fantasy 15 sets the stage for the adventure that will take place in Final Fantasy 15. The first episode is available now on YouTube, which you watched. I want to hear about.
Jacob watched it as well.
While the remaining four additional episodes will be released prior to Final Fantasy XV's launch later this year. So, I haven't seen the episode yet. I'm going to watch it.
It's good.
Let's hear it. I want to hear your thoughts.
It's cool.
Very well put together.
Okay.
It's nice.
Now, you mentioned...
I like it.
Yes, I like it. Now, you mentioned it's the same artist.
I believe it's the same company that animated Sword Art Erased... That company.
Okay. Yeah. Now,
I know nothing.
Are you still heavily invested in the Sword Art lore or no? Because I haven't been with you as often as I used to be when you were reading the books and stuff.
I am still reading the books.
Really?
Yeah.
How often?
Every now and then. It's a good bathroom book for me.
Nice. It's a good toilet read.
Yeah, they're light novels, so they're not too big. They're not fully all translated yet either.
Okay.
So. I'm not.
You could just be a real fan and learn how to speak Japanese.
Yeah, you're right. If I could speak Japanese, I'd be way far along because they're like way into different arcs and everything. But no, I'm not as invested because I'm waiting on the third season to come out because I haven't even finished the second season yet because I want to get to it in books first and stuff. But besides the point, even haters on this series have always said it looks very nice and the fight scenes are done well. Right. And that is no exception with Brotherhood. It looks very nice.
Awesome.
And the biggest thing about the game that I'm kind of excited with is just the way that everybody gets together, like Gladio, Prompto, Ignis, and Noctis,
yeah.
Is that right?
I think that's a cool name.
Memorized all of them. Do you know which ones they are?
No, I don't. I just know Noctis is obviously the main character.
Noctis
you play
is
as.
The king's son. Gladius?
Gladio?
Gladio? He's the big dude with like the no shirt.
I was going to guess that's him.
Prompto is the blonde dude with his slick back with the glasses. Then Ignis is the smaller blonde dude.
The guy who's not royalty.
Yeah, he's not royalty. But I really like their chemistry together.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. So, and
the part when he squirts the ketchup everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
that guy.
Yeah. That was Ignis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was Ignis.
No, it was the guy who's not royalty.
Yeah, that's Ignis.
Is that Ignis?
Yeah.
But who's the guy with the glasses then?
That's Prompto.
Okay.
Yeah. Besides the point, I really like their chemistry together, and I think that's going to be like a big part of the game, of course, is them all getting along. Because in the episode Dusuke, they were like high-fiving and stuff outside of combat. So it was called Brotherhood. So I think it's really going to build on, you know, their relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. And you got a small glimpse of it in the anime. And yeah, I'm excited for it.
So. That's awesome.
Yeah. I like seeing their combat in action too.
Yeah.
With the brief combat
fight scenes
we got
are cool.
At the end of the episode.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't want to spoil too much for you.
No, that's okay. I was going to ask, are you going to play the game in Japanese with English subtitles?
Yes.
Okay, I think I might want to do that. Is the anime in Japanese?
I hate to be like one of those guys, but I just, when I play stuff like this, I just like
I kind of feel the same way. Ever since we started watching, like you got me into Attack on Titan, you've seen it as well. And ever since I saw that, I can't, with the exception of Dragon Ball Z, I can't watch any anime in English.
It's
just
like
kind of weirds me out.
It's just part of it. It's not like I'm saying like, because I know that there are some English dubs that are done like super well. Like I've heard Full Metal Alchemist has like a great English dub.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Persona 4. Like, I actually like the English dub of that game, like, a ton. Troy Baker's in it. I mean, it's got good talent behind it. But for the most part, if I have a choice, I'll probably just pick Japanese because it's just part of that anime art style and stuff.
Is the anime on YouTube in Japanese?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, okay.
It's
that's awesome.
Japanese with English subtitles. Yeah. And I'm sure watching the anime, I'll get used to their voices being that. So I'll probably, you know, want to go and that'll be weird, like playing the game and their voices are sounding different and stuff. So yeah. I'll definitely
wonder how their English voices will sound.
They changed some of it from episode Dusuke because they're, I think Prompto, yeah, I heard he one had of them was bad. Awful voice.
Dusuke. I'd so like to go back and watch our video and just see how he sounded.
Yeah.
I'll have to do that.
That's awesome. Piggybacking off the anime, mm-hmm. which I'm excited to delve into so we can talk about it more. Kingsglaive Final Fantasy 15 is presented by Sony Pictures Entertainment and Square Enix. Kingsglaive weaves together the complexities of kingdoms at war, royal relationships, and epic battles in a tale that will set the stage for the main Final Fantasy 15 narrative. The CG movie features an all-star cast with Sean Bean voicing Regis, the King of Lucius, who has sworn to protect his kingdom, Lena Headley, who's the woman from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Shame. Yeah, shame. Voicing Luna, the princess who's been entrusted to deliver the royal ring of Lucius.
She's
to
Princess
Prince Noctis.
Luna?
No, she is voicing Luna, the princess who has been entrusted
now,
to deliver the
anime,
royal ring.
Now, in the anime, isn't that who Noctis is going to see?
Yes.
Okay.
That's who he's supposed to
be married to. Yeah. But I think she said that they weren't in the game. Or maybe they are.
I feel like she's in the game.
Okay.
She's got to be. Is.
Yeah, if she's like that type of character, I would say she has to.
Okay.
Oh, we could be wrong. Continue.
Right. Also among the cast is everyone's favorite meth dealer, Aaron Paul, voicing Nyx. Mm-hmm. The title will be released digitally worldwide before the game's launch. launch. But that's really
now they're all speaking in Japanese, right?
Are they?
No.
I was going to say, I don't remember that from the trailer.
Aaron Paul.
That'd be amazing. Aaron Paul's a cool dude.
Konnichiwa, yeah. Bitch.
Yeah. I just love listening to the interview of him on stage.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. I was going to say, this is particularly exciting for me because I remember, I think we've all discussed this at one point, that there's so many great CG trailers out there. For example, some of the ones that stick out in my mind are the CG trailers for Batman Arkham Origins, because mm-hmm. at the core of that game, the story is a really cool idea, and that CG trailer where he's like fighting Deathstroke in that like shipyard is like an amazing CG trailer, and I've always been saying like I would watch an entire movie like this. It's awesome because whenever you do CG, if you have a solid voice actor, you can't the acting is always flawless because it's all animated, so the acting's perfect, the action's perfect. It's like CG can just be flawless if you have great voice actors, so yeah. I'm surprised not more movies or games at least do this, but hopefully this will be a success and pave the way for more CG game
this
movies.
This CG is unreal for this thing. It looks like...
It almost looks real.
It looks real almost. Yeah, it's right. Crazy.
Yeah, it's cool. So, you guys have any additional thoughts other than just your thoughts on the trailer particularly?
I'll watch it. It's cool.
I think it's cool how this is taking place, like as the four of the... you know, the people that you're going to be playing as in the game are doing their own thing. This is happening back home.
Yeah.
So right. I think this is pretty cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see if Sean Bean dies again.
Yeah, we'll see. We will definitely see. Also among the list was Justice Monsters 5, a pinball game for mobile devices combining role-playing elements with some of the franchise's most iconic monsters. The game will be available to play in-game in Final Fantasy XV when it launches this September, but a mobile version of the game will be coming soon. Players can download Justice Monsters 5 for free on Google Play for Android devices, on the App Store for iPhone and iPad, and on the Universal Store for Windows 10 devices.
Wow. I'm not going to lie. When they were talking about this, I was probably not paying attention.
I was also, because Casey was, we were watching House of Cards is what it was. Mm-hmm. No, not House of Cards. It was some show. I think we already finished House of Cards, but I had on the live stream, like here's my TV and we were watching it, but the live stream was like in the corner of my phone. So I was just like bouncing back and forth. But as soon as I started talking about pinball, I was also not paying attention, but it's cool that they have it. Like I said, I loved the fact that Fallout had Fallout Shelter in the meantime to play, mm-hmm. which obviously I'm not a mega fan of Final Fantasy. I've never actually completed an entire Final Fantasy game. This will be the first that I do, but I think it's cool that they not only had this event that was a very, very awesome event, I will say. Mm-hmm. It's one of the better events I've seen in a long time. The fact that they put all this effort into like getting people excited for the game and including all this extra content, I think is awesome. And definitely, like I said, it worked because it's piqued my interest drastically in the game. Mm-hmm. So I will definitely be picking it up on September 30th. But obviously...
You got the collector's edition pre-order.
Of course.
Right?
I was actually going to talk about that. They also announced, obviously, a deluxe edition and ultimate collector's edition, which I'm totally doing because I love Final Fantasy.
Yeah. But, it looked awesome.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, really it cool. Definitely looks cool. But at the end, which this was kind of leaked information, as we know, we all got the Platinum demo for free. Mm-hmm. What were you guys' thoughts on the demo?
It was cool. I mean, I liked it. It was just a good showing of like the engine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Weather graphics. Combat wasn't too... I mean, the enemies really didn't attack you that much. Mm-hmm. The hammer, your squishy toy hammer, was really overpowered compared to your sword.
Yeah.
So. You couldn't even die, I don't think.
No, until... Yeah. I think when you got to the boss fight, you could.
No, the boss didn't kill me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I struggled at first to figure out what I was supposed to do.
Gotcha. Did you ever parry it or anything?
No.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. There's a part where you can, like, if you guard at the right time, you'll, like, parry his sword and, like, throw it up into the air. And then,
that's
like,
awesome.
Like, dodge into him and, like, stab him. That's awesome. It's pretty cool. But, yeah, I definitely want to get more into I mean, it gave you a pretty okay look at the combat, but in the game, you're going to have three other dudes with you, and you're going to be switching back and forth between more weapons and spells and stuff. So it's going to be... You know, what we had a taste of was just like super, super bare minimum. But from what I played, it's cool. Graphics are very nice, pretty. Definitely ran better than Duske. But then again, it was a much smaller scale for sure. So hopefully, I know they're saying they want it to be at stable 30 frames. So hopefully that is the case when it comes out.
Amen.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will say my favorite parts of the demo were, I always enjoy music in games, but obviously the music in this game is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the coolest moment, without a doubt, in the demo is when your kid Noctis and all of a sudden you transform into adult Gnostics and the music's like a super choir and like the music swells and like you just have this badass sword and you're about to fight this boss. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I really like the giant sword too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you used that one.
I did.
Yeah. That's fun.
But yeah, I thought that was definitely my favorite part of the demo for sure was the boss battle. And then just the music was so epic. And like you said, and I know we're not the only ones to say this, that it definitely has a Kingdom Hearts vibe, which I will never complain about because I love Kingdom Hearts, obviously. Lord willing, we'll play Kingdom Hearts before our life ends at this rate. But
probably in the 2020s.
Yeah. It's definitely, like I said, I'm excited for the game. The demo was fun. But
playing this, I hope I'm way more excited also for the Final Fantasy VII remake they're doing as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Which hopefully we'll be able to play that before we have children.
Yeah.
So is that supposed to be like this kind of open world like combat like this too?
I mean, the combat looks similar. Yeah. Okay. But... In terms of anything else, I have no clue. Besides, it's episode based.
Right.
I think they like. I know they released the full Final Fantasy 15, like Final Sin City 15, or Final Fantasy 7, the old school version that you can play all the way through now. But like
you can
play
it on any. You can play it on your phone.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say I'd rather experience it revamped in episodic form than jump into it now. So
I'm sure I respect the old game and like it has its place in history. Like for what it was and stuff, but I just kind of think it's aged way too much for somebody that hasn't played it.
So you're saying it takes its place in the toilet now instead of in our hearts. Great.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. No one take us seriously, please, when we say that. Moving onward and upward, beyond the skies we go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect quote for what we're moving into. Mass Effect Andromeda not only had some leaked gameplay, which I guess we can start with, but also has some really cool, not necessarily gameplay, but news related to what we'll be experiencing in the game. First and foremost, for those of you that haven't seen the leaked footage, it's pretty much all over the place now. It potentially could be fake, we don't know.
Potentially.
But it shows a character in armor with a jetpack at night, like boosting up on top of like a building. And nothing to freak out about.
I'm sure a Krogan.
Yeah.
With a smoke bomb or something like that.
I was like, it's probably a strong chance it is real. Maybe.
Maybe. Then again, nowadays, like, you literally have no clue.
Especially after we saw that fake NX controller, you really don't know.
They can literally do anything. Then again, the graphics don't look like leaps. And I mean, if you would have told me this is like, oh, this is for Mass Effect 3, I would have been like, I don't remember that part. Like, I would have totally believed it was Mass Effect 3. It didn't look drastically different.
Right.
So then again, it could be like super pre-alpha. I don't know. It did look like definitely a beginning stage if they were developing it because the HUD looked just like all the other Mass Effects, but there's no problem with the HUD. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I'm definitely excited.
I'm excited
for
it regardless.
For sure. This is actually the news that I read that got me really excited. This is kind of old now, and for some reason I feel like I already talked about this. If I did, just stop me in my tracks, but maybe I didn't. But this news was really cool to me. It said, Mass Effect Andromeda... By the way, this comes from GameSpot. Quote, Mass Effect Andromeda takes players to the Andromeda Galaxy, far beyond the Milky Way, where players will lead the fight for a new home in hostile territory. It's already kind of like, okay, cool. Well, this is where it gets cool to me. Where we are the aliens opposed by a deadly indigenous race bent on stopping us. Experience the freedom to traverse and explore a planet-dense but seamless open-world galaxy, rich with discovery. Play as the leader of a squad of military-trained explorers, an intense third-person shooter with deep progression and customization systems. This is the story of humanity's next chapter, and player choices throughout the game will ultimately determine our survival in the Andromeda Galaxy. I thought that sounds awesome.
Sounds exciting.
The seamless open-world galaxy. If they literally mean...
like No Man's Sky.
Dude.
No, it's not.
Well, what if it was?
Yeah, it's not.
But if it's a seamless open world, they won't go back to the system. It has to be different from like just going to like your ship's map and going from planet
to planet.
I wonder
if it'll kind of be like Dragon Age, kind of like how it had really big open worlds, and you could kind of just go between places.
We'll see.
I wonder how the combat will work, though, in open world, because it's very much, you know, cover-based thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I'm hoping it isn't a situation where it's like... kind of like the Division, where I'm not trying to hate on the Division, where you just like walk around this, like, say you're on like a weird planet, you're just kind of like walking through some caverns and some mountains and just kind of moping around looking for stuff. And they're like, oh, there's some aliens to shoot at. I killed them. Let's mope around some more till we get to our objective. Because I kind of like the missions in Mass Effect 2 and 3 where they're, for the most part, pretty linear.
No, I love Mass Effect 2. It's one of my favorite games on the 360, like that entire last generation. Mass Effect 2 is great. Mass Effect 3 is great, too. I really like the way that they structured those, where you would go to planets and there'd be like... I remember going to Mars in Mass Effect 2, and it was like a hub area where you would go around and talk to people. Then you would like kind of wander off into another section, and a mission would just start. And it was just like a really cool linear mission where you're going around. And linear in terms of gameplay, you would make choices along the way that would drastically shape out that game. I really hope they don't like mess with that too much if it's like super open world. I'm just trying to think of, like, if you land... Because in Mass Effect 1, you'd land on a planet, and you get in the Mako, and you'd, like, drive around, and the combat would take place inside of, like, these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And the buildings, you know, they can structure there to be cover and stuff. But if you're, like... I don't know if that's what they're talking about, or if they're talking... Because a Dragon Age, it's fine, because it's not a cover-based thing. You come up on a group of guys, and you take them out and stuff. Mass Effect's combat is way different than that, so... Is that making sense, what I'm trying to say?
No,
like
I know exactly,
like,
what you mean.
Kind of more cover-based, but it being open world and stuff, like, I don't know, it just seems kind of, I don't know,
only,
hard if I was making the game.
Yeah,
like,
only
what do I know?
It could be similar to a thing, kind of how Dragon Age Inquisition was, where you go to those big hub worlds and just kind of float around doing side missions and main missions and just stumbling upon groups of enemies and stuff, which I don't know if I'd like that in Mass Effect.
I don't think that mixes with Mass Effect.
No, not at all. I'm hoping that isn't
the
route they take.
It's like, oh, I come up to guys and there's boulders directly set up for me to take cover and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know how that would work.
That'd be annoying to me. I mean, like I was going to say, if I were to ever replay any of the Mass Effects, it would definitely be the second one is my favorite for sure.
I mean, I'd be fine if it was like the first one where you get the Mako and you drive around and you get out and have your helmet on and like
I know they did confirm there was like a leaked image or confirmed image where you will be operating that vehicle again, or a vehicle
like
it.
That's fine. And if you're in an inhabitable planet and like people have to be in these buildings and you can... go into the buildings and stuff. Because in Mass Effect 1, there were missions where you would land on a planet, you get in the Mako, and you drive to, like, different areas, and you'd have to hop out of the Mako, and you'd, like, enter this facility and take out dudes, and you just, like, keep traversing along. If it's, like, an open world like that, then that's fine. But, I don't know. I'm kind of, like, I like a more linear type of experience like that. That's just my personal opinion. I like, you know, linearity in the gameplay, but like when it comes to the story and stuff, I like, you know, the choices and stuff, and that's what I really liked about Mass Effect. So
I agree.
I hope they don't like mess it up too much trying to make everything open world and stuff, because I just don't think that's the type of game it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I
hope they prove me wrong, because if they can actually do that and make it super awesome, then I welcome it. But
I totally agree
more about making a game than I do. So
yeah, I put a lot of trust in BioWare. They haven't failed me yet. Obviously, for some strange reason, you and I were unable to play through Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah, which is weird, because I played through arguably the way worse one, which is 2, and I played that like 3 times and enjoyed the crap out of it.
Yeah,
right. So
I don't know what that was all about. I told you recently I played it for a couple hours trying to like really. I'm like, I'm going to try to get into this because I know it's great. Couldn't do it. I don't know why. It's the strangest thing. But, I mean, I love the Mass Effect trilogy, so I have high hopes for Andromeda, and only time will tell at this point. But while we're on the subject of space, let's move on to the rumor of Call of Duty potentially being set in a very distant future, having space combat. How do you feel? Does that feel Mountain Dew and Doritos infused to you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they'll find a way to make it to space.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sounds cool to me.
Yeah.
Just super sci-fi Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm. I remember the ghosts, or not the ghost. Yeah, the ghost missions in space.
Yeah.
Those were fun.
Those are cool.
I mean, it sounded cool.
I'm assuming this is going to be like freaking like lasers and like flying like space battles and stuff on different like planets
or something. I just want Call of Duty to be grounded. I don't want all this jumping and exo maneuver.
I think that's part of the intrigue of Doom for us was there's so many shooters have gone to like boosting around and jumping around route, and this is just... I mean, obviously you have like a little double jump you can do. That's essentially all it is. And I think this, the simplicity of that gameplay is really what is fun for the most part. But like you said, I'm interested in... I mean, Call of Duty, I'll buy every year probably no matter what. It's just something I'll do. I've just accepted it now. Like, no matter what it is, I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah. They got me.
So,
yeah, like I were telling you guys, like I was telling you guys, like, top level grammar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every week.
Like I was telling you gentlemen, two big Naughty Dog dudes are...
We have a low battery.
We do. I'm scared.
Uh-oh.
We'll hope for the best.
Two big Naughty Dog guys are working at an Infinity Ward right now.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they're going to oversee the story mode and actually make a story mode, like, story-wise worthwhile.
Totally agree. Let's hope they stray away from the co-op campaign this time
around. Yes, please just make it single player. Gosh, I'm so sick of the four-player crap where you just go to open area and kill everything and there's no cool like intimate cinematic experiences.
Let's delve into this a bit. Here's a fun little topic idea. I think now, would you like to see human forces, for example, whether we're playing as Russians or Americans, whatever it might be, would you like to see us facing off against aliens from other planets? Or here's a cool idea for a thought for I think a conflict that could happen in space. Let's say we've gotten to the point where a majority of the world has tried to bring civilization to Mars or something.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say there's like a big war between like the Americans and I don't know, like South Korea or something like that on Mars.
South,
it's like,
Korea, one of our allies.
Oh, not South Korea. Sorry, North Korea. Okay. Let's imagine like there's a big conflict that breaks out and there's like you're fighting over planet, like occupation of planets or something. I don't know. Would you like to see that? Would you like to see us face off for the first time against aliens in Call of Duty?
I don't know. Neither.
Let's do aliens, man.
I think if you're gonna go this nuts, you might as well go all in at this point.
Yeah, I want to fight like the Fallout alien looking guys.
All right.
Just,
yeah.
Those generic looking aliens with laser guns.
I think it'd be kind of fun. I mean, it'd be like, I mean, they definitely everyone. I mean, everyone's already saying they're like, oh, they're trying to be like Halo now. Which, whatever. I'm not the kind of person that says that kind of stuff. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be kind of cool to play Call of Duty where one team's aliens and one team's humans. That'd be pretty cool. So, especially with the solid Call of Duty gameplay, I mean, it's so good that no matter what skin you put on it, it's usually almost always fun.
Yeah.
So,
in all honesty, I just want a direct sequel to Ghosts. I just want to continue that story.
Yeah.
Because there's a major, like, cliffhanger at the end of it. So,
yeah.
I just want to know what happens.
I mean, my life wouldn't be over if we never knew what's going to happen.
Right.
But,
well, like, looking back at Ghosts, like, I don't hate it as much as I thought.
I like single player of... Gosh. I like single player. I liked Ghosts single player. I thought it was great. Like, I thought it was way better than Black Ops 3. I thought it was better than Advanced Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Had a very solid campaign. Infinity Ward's always had solid campaigns.
What about Kevin Spacey?
Yeah. They freaking really used him well, didn't they?
Except for his end in that game. I enjoyed him in the game.
Yeah, killed him. We can kill off Kevin Spacey. I guess they couldn't pay him more than one game.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Advanced Warfare is fine. Black Ops 3's campaign is by far the worst, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was all over the place.
Yeah, and it was that four-player co-op crap that Halo 5 suffered from, too. There's no, like, cool intimate experience. Yeah,
the problem that Halo 5 had was that you couldn't even do it, like, together at the same house. You had to have your own Xbox.
Yeah, but, yeah, I don't know.
That's besides the point, though.
Yeah, besides the point. Yeah, but it sounds cool to me. I'm excited for it. If Battlefield, people are still saying, oh, if Battlefield comes out without World War One game and then Call of Duty's having like Space Marines, like that's so drastic.
Call of Duty Space Marine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
how is nobody if Battlefield 5 is World War One, I will eat my shoe.
Yeah.
Like there is no
And we'll do that
way,
as a video.
That's gonna be World War One. No way.
We'll see. I mean, there's just, it seems like nowadays there's a lot more rumors than there are facts.
I swear it's probably World War II or something with a typo. Mm-hmm. I just can't see them doing a Battlefield game like with trench warfare. I mean, it'd be cool, I guess, but I don't see how they'd do it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know.
We will see. Just a bunch of craziness happening with shooters these days.
Yeah.
But Moving on, we're going to take a blast to the past now. Rumor floating around that's probably confirmed at this point based on this woman's LinkedIn profile. But Shadow of Mordor 2 is potentially on the horizon. Now, would you like to try to squeeze that in this year? Or are you fine with waiting until like spring of next year?
Okay. There's no Assassin's Creed coming out this year. There's no Batman coming out this year. There's no... Besides like Uncharted, what other like action third-person game is coming out this year?
That's a great point.
Horizon.
Zero Dawn. Yeah, that's a big one.
Is that coming out this year?
We'll see.
I hope so.
Me too.
I would hope so.
Oh, man, I didn't think about that. Those are two.
If that doesn't come out this year,
games.
Then definitely we need a Shadow of
War. Like I said, there's no Assassin's Creed coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
WB isn't putting out a Batman game. Right. So I would assume like...
Mad Max 2.
Yeah, Mad Max 2 already. They're not really putting out a game this year as much as as far as I can think. So I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd definitely be fine with it for sure. I mean, I love Shadow of Mordor. I still think about that game.
Me too.
And like wanting to kind of go back to it.
Easily my favorite sword combat in any game ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wish that everyone would blatantly copy that and be like, yes, we copied Shadow of Mordor, but you're using a lightsaber this time.
We copied Shadow of Mordor, copying Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with that.
Oh, yeah. It's fine.
So what would you guys like to see in that sequel, by the way? Anything that...
A better story.
I agree.
Just make a better story.
That's the biggest thing.
Everything else was
fine. Gameplay was great. Stealth was great. Fighting was great. The whole nemesis mechanic was freaking great. The story just sucked.
I agree.
So,
yeah, we'll hope for the best for sure. We'll see if it hits us this year.
Yeah,
I certainly hope so. Speaking of a blast from the past, this news, I shouldn't say it's funny because there's probably very legitimate fans of this series, but it left a bad taste in my mouth with the original game. But Two Worlds 3 was announced, and the developer said it was based off the success of the first two games. I would rather them just said, based off the success of the second game. But the first game, funny story about Two Worlds, I had just come off of playing Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion. It's like, man, I really want to play another medieval RPG. And Two Worlds, I think, had either just come out or it had only been out for like a year at the time. I was like, I'm going to try this out, not even thinking anything of it. The cover looked awful, but I was like, who cares?
Well, I forgot where I read it, but I read the back of the box.
Of Two Worlds?
Yeah, on the side of it, it's like... This is the best thing ever. Like, this is next gen or whatever. And it had a writer from Oblivion.
Yeah.
Who helped write the game.
So I think that's what originally piqued my interest.
Yeah. So they were like piggybacking off of that. I forgot who they quoted saying it was just like, this is one of the best RPGs. Or, yeah, it said Oblivion on steroids the back.
What? That's probably sure what sold me originally.
It said that. Look it up real quick. Look up back of Two Worlds box. I want to like actually read it, but continue.
Yeah, speaking of Two Worlds, I picked up that game probably based on what the box said. I was so excited. I kid you not, I played that game for less than 3 minutes, I think. I think maybe 2.5 minutes with this kind of, because you start off like in the middle of the like not really a forest, but sort of like a field or a forest, and there's like a cave ahead of you you can go into. Mm-hmm. And right off the bat, the run animation was so embarrassingly bad to me that I like couldn't handle it. I played it for about 2.5 minutes. I think I went into the cave and walked back out and just turned it off and never played it again. You looking at it right now?
Yes.
I don't think it's that one. Go to the 360 one. Yeah, it's that right there. Yeah. Okay. So this is the back of the box.
The last one.
All right.
These are quotes on the back.
Now this is Two Worlds 1, the first one, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Says, let's read this. Adventure with up to 8 players online. I didn't even know you could do this.
Me neither.
And unique cooperative role-playing campaigns. Seamless transition from indoor to outdoor environments. Wow. Create and customize spells with the unique system based around 5 schools of magic. Six different mounts you can ride.
Wow.
And fight from, including various horses and lizard creatures. Stackable weapon systems allows you to strengthen like weapons fast and efficiently. Brew your own special potions. Hyper realistic environments with amazing
the wickedly talented.
Amazing sensation weather changes throughout the game world. And these are quotes. The new tin standard to measure all other RPGs against. That was from MMORPG.
What?
This is also from MMORPG. This game is 100% next generation RPG. This is from PCGamer.com. A big and long overdue leap in RPGs. And this is from Hardcore Gamer. It's Oblivion on steroids.
That's what sold me.
Sorry.
And it did not live up to the potential for me.
For sure.
Now, I will say, I did not give it a fair chance because I didn't even play it for 5 minutes. Like I said, maybe it turned out being fun despite the silly run animation. But obviously, I never played the sequel because of my terrible experience with the first one. But I don't want anyone to mistake me for just blatantly hating on this game because I thought the first one was silly. Like, you've heard that the second one was received well and was
a success, right? It was beyond the first one. That's all I heard. It still wasn't, like, anything to write home about, but it was way better than the first one. So if they take as much as a leap from the first to second one, from the second to third one, I definitely won't be interested.
Yeah, definitely.
Can you guys imagine writing home about a game to your parents?
What do you mean?
The concept of writing home.
Writing a
ride
horse
home about.
Or write?
You said write home about. Or did you say ride home?
Well, I believe write home is the expression.
Right.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be odd? It's like, oh, I need to write home about this.
Hey, Mom, I've been playing a lot of Peggle here in my hotel room.
So this is a game to write home about. So I'm letting
Peggle.
You know.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I just...
It's just an interesting...
I know I sound like...
That's true. I never thought about
that. I sound like a total douchebag when I read that headline. It's like, two Worlds 3 being developed based off the success of the first two. I literally laughed out loud. But it's unfair.
It
doesn't
sold well.
I never blatantly hate on any property.
I believe South Peak?
Is that who it is?
I think okay. so.
Don't get me wrong. I never hope a game fails. I hope it does well. For the sake of the fans and for my own sake, I'd like to enjoy another great RPG. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was funny. But on to our main topic of the week that sparked my interest. And I thought this is a very intriguing thing to discuss. I want to hear your opinions on it. It has to do with the Overwatch controversy with the character pose. Mm. This comes from Michael...
You mean Tracer.
Is it Tracer?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I have the names of the characters on here as well. But this is from Polygon, Michael McWhorter. Quote, "The creators of Overwatch are facing a new controversy, this time over a butt." You could say this person what was the pun I had? Oh yeah, this person was a little butt hurt. This person that wrote in about this. Blizzard said today it will remove a victory pose from its upcoming shooter Overwatch after receiving feedback from a player who I'm already kind of laughing about this. Who criticized the pose as overly sexualized and unbefitting the character's personality. Overwatch game director Jeff Kaplan confirmed the removal in the game's forum, saying the developer will continue to try to do better. Now, this comes from the guy that wrote in about this. He said a lot, but this is his reasoning behind why he complained about this pose. If you guys haven't seen the pose, it's this female character who has her back turned to the camera, looking over her shoulder.
Yeah, she's like...
Yeah, and it shows her butt. Okay, big deal. Everyone has a butt.
She's wearing like really tight pants.
She's wearing the yoga pants.
Right.
Son.
So here's what he had to say, and I will say before I even dive into this that I respect this guy for at the very least giving his solid reasoning as to why he feels this way, he or she, whoever this is. Because it's one thing to complain about something and not come up with a solution, but the fact that he presents a solution and gives his reasoning, I can respect that. This is what he or she had to say. And forgive me, the Overwatch characters I'm not experts on. I don't know how to pronounce all their names, so you can hate me in the comments if
I'll
pronounce them wrong.
You.
Okay, from Mai or May to Zarya.
May
to Zarya. Is that how you say it? Zarya.
Yes.
To Widowmaker, the female cast reflects a large. This is from him, by the way. Reflects a large spectrum of personalities and player fantasies. Phipps wrote. With that being said, let's talk about Tracer, who's the one that has the controversy surrounding her. From a marketing standpoint, she's the star of the show. She's a great hero. When we look at the way she's portrayed in promotional media, lore, and art in the game, we know a few things about her. She's fast, she's silly, she's kind, she's a good friend. Her body seems to be comprised of about 95% spunk. So
spunk.
Spunk. I like that word. Let me see what this says.
It's the perfect word to characterize that character, actually.
Okay, spunk. He continues. He says, "What about this pose has anything to do with the character you're building in Tracer?" Phipp said, "It's not fun. It's not silly. It has nothing to do with with her being a fast elite killer. It just reduces Tracer to another bland female sex symbol." Now, based on what he said on that, do you agree? Based upon her pose, do you think she's reduced just because of a pose? Reduced to just being another female sex symbol?
From what I know about her, kinda.
Okay.
Yeah. I can kind of see where he's coming from.
Right.
I don't know anything about her. Okay. So if I would have seen that offhand, I wouldn't have thought that.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that way though.
Yeah.
She's just looking over. It's not like she's looking over her shoulder with her like finger on her mouth or she's like has her arm on her hip or
you
she's
wanna
like,
give examples? Like standing up?
What? Yeah, these different yeah, sure, doses. Go for it. I mean, she's...
we're gonna have Jacob stand on the table. Sorry to our listeners only. If you're viewing the video, lucky you, Jacob's gonna repeat all these poses for us.
I mean, like, I'm assuming when she's running around in the game, you can look see your butt.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can see everyone.
You can see everyone's butt.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw that there's a few more players where they have the exact same pose, even
yeah,
guys.
I was about to say, like, there's several characters that do that same pose.
Yeah. I mean, I understand where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. I completely understand. I just don't think that pose is necessarily, like, a sexy pose. I mean, she's just looking mm-hmm. over her shoulder. That's just my opinion. It's not like she's, like, has her legs spread or anything over that. I don't know. I'm just not a person to like, if I saw something and it like offends me or something, nothing offends me. Yeah.
Right.
Nothing, literally
like,
nothing offends
me. I don't let
me.
Anything like this affect me at all. Yeah. Like, I don't know why
you don't have to pick the pose. Kind of like, you don't have to pick the pose.
Right.
It's like, I don't know.
Well, you still see it if that person, I think you see whoever does like the best in the game, you see that
but
player.
Just because
pose.
She's like spunky and like, that's, I mean, that sounds like an attractive woman to me and not that I like find fictional women attractive, but obviously being a dude and seeing her, she's obviously pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, but it's not like,
that's the thing.
That's the thing. There's an even more seductive character in the game, but he's not complaining about that. It was Widowmaker.
And I think he said that. Like, he's like, that fits her. That's why I can like understand where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But even with Widowmaker doing that pose, I don't think that's sexy.
Right.
Let me also state before we continue in this subject, I want everyone that's listening to know it is not our aim to offend anyone with our opinions or piss anyone off saying like, this guy's an idiot, because that's not what we're saying. Like we said, I can totally respect this guy's opinion because he gives his reasoning, he gives a solution, and it makes perfect sense. But I will say, I'm agreeing with you, when I look at this pose, because when I read about this, this is before I had seen the pose, I just kind of like read or heard about this news. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, this must be something kind of...
What's funny is, sorry to interrupt you, but the headline I saw had the picture in it, and I was like, man, where's this picture?
Yeah.
I was looking for the picture. I was like, that's it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that was in the thumbnails of all the videos talking, and I was like, oh, well, they're probably making me click on the video to see it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how it didn't even faze me, is they were showing it to me and I was looking for it.
Right.
Yeah. So
I, like you said, nothing offends me either, but when I saw this, and this isn't me being like numb to like women being overly sexualized, I get that that happens, but this specifically, when I saw that pose, the way he described her character, she's 95% spunk. I would call that pose more spunky than sexual. Just that's me.
I mean,
but
it kind of looked cocky to me, or she's like looking over her shoulder, like, mm-hmm. with her guns and stuff. Like,
right. Now, would they say the same thing if she had, say she has like a trench coat on and you can't see her butt?
Probably not.
Exactly. No, it's all about that butt crack.
Her butt's there. Yeah.
So,
which is like not, I can go to the store probably right now and mm-hmm. find a woman wearing those pants and so look up her butt. I mean, it's just like, it's a thing. I mean, girls wear tight pants. I mean, I don't get offended. Like, I don't walk up to a woman in a supermarket. I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, you are offending me right now. You're over sexualizing yourself. And based on looking at you, your personality, you seem awful spunky. So I'm going to have to ask you to not walk around with those pants anymore.
Right. I'm going to need you to change this completely.
Yeah. Like, why not? Why? I mean, even the pose, but like, why not say, oh, the pants are overly sexualizing.
Right.
Because
right.
they're revealing her butt.
Mm-hmm. So, now, let's think about this as well. Is it fair to argue that it wouldn't be considered overly sexualized if someone didn't state that it was overly sexualized? Like, what if just everyone just saw that? I mean, I know a lot of people get up in arms about this kind of a topic, but when I see that, like you said as well, I didn't even think anything sexual at all.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I completely agree that in this medium, women have been over-sexualized.
Oh, totally.
Like, especially, like, when dudes in, like, MMOs are, like, getting pumped up on armor, the girls just get, like, skip here and skip here. I completely agree where, like, women kind of get to a point where they're like, okay, like, I kind of, you know, every time I want to play as a chick, like, I don't want to be walking around in a thong or something. Yeah. I feel that way as a dude. Like, I don't like running around shirtless in games.
Think about Quiet from Metal Gear, for example. Yeah, that is a prime example of over sexualized, because she, for no reason, needs to look like that.
Yeah. No, dude, she can't breathe.
Yeah, she couldn't breathe.
That was a great excuse.
But the thing is, though, is like, yeah, I know she was pretty sexualized. I thought she was a cool character, though.
She is
like,
cool.
I mean, I don't really think bad about, like, game characters, though, because they're not real. Like, I don't find them, like, attractive, really, in terms of that. I don't know. That, I mean, that is a good point, though. She definitely was. That's kind of a thing with, like, Asian culture, though. And, like, I was talking about, like, back to Sword Art Online, they sexualize the characters in that thing all the time, and I'm just like, I get tired of it. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, why is this happening? This is just like in the show, they'd just be in bathtubs and stuff. I'm just like, this doesn't add anything to the story at all.
Exactly.
So I completely understand what stuff like that is happening. I just think that we're just in a culture of being offended by everything. I mean, that's just the way it is, and especially with the internet, there's a means to just go on there and just complain about it and stuff. Like I said, I'm not, this guy has valid points and stuff, and Blizzard commented saying that I think before they even heard this, they were thinking about changing it. So we'll never really know if that's the absolute truth, or if Blizzard's just like really doesn't want to offend anybody. So they're just like quick to be like, oh, we can just remove it. It's fine. Like, you know, trying to put the fire out. But
what does this mean?
Well, I was getting to that. I was going to say also, first and foremost, everyone that's listening, don't mistake us for trying to support, the over-sexualization of women in games. That's not at all what we're saying. We're just trying to get to the bottom as to why this was such a big deal. I mean, obviously, as you said, we do live in a time where a lot of people get offended about a lot of things. And it's fair. Thank the Lord we have freedom of speech in this country. And I'm always okay with someone stating their opinion. Even if I completely disagree with it, I will always be okay with it if they state their point and they give a solid solution. Even if I don't agree with the solution, at the very least do that. And I think this guy did a great job of that. That being said, Blizzard obviously did make the decision to take it out of the game. Now, do you think this was purely out of respect for this individual fan, or fans as a whole that were up in arms about this? Purely like, oh, we don't want to offend anyone. Or do you think it was like they just honestly and truly agreed? Because there are quotes and info that was released saying like, oh, we were thinking about changing it anyway. This is the big question. Do you think not sticking to their guns and deciding to change it, do you think that as a potential threat to creative liberty going forward with other game developers, do you think game developers will fear putting their ideas into games based on offending people, or what?
That's what I'm afraid of.
I think it's already there. There already is fear there. I mean, look at the backlash Ubisoft got when you couldn't play as a woman in Unity. I mean, look what happened the next game. They put a woman in there.
Which
they
is fine.
And they did it well. Evie Fryer was a great character.
I thought she was more fun to play as.
I played as her more because she was more stealth-based. She's what I wanted to play as. I think we're getting to a point where I fear that developers feel like they have to craft their stories around characters of different sexual orientations, or like female characters and stuff, just out of fear of not being diverse enough, and it might affect the story. If there's a game that calls for a woman or a gay character and stuff, and it's a good story, I'm perfectly okay with that. Like, there's nothing. It's just like shoehorning in these things just to appease people, I feel like could, you know, get out of hand, because, you know, they don't want to be called like, you know, like, oh, why are all your characters the same, you know, person and stuff. If a story calls for a white dude, and then that's what it causes for, or calls for. So I don't know. You can get like really deep into that. But I think in terms of the Overwatch, I think Blizzard probably knew, honestly. They're probably like, we might get some backlash. And then when they got it, they were like, okay, guys, we might as well. It's not worth it to just keep this in for no reason. So
plus, this is still in beta. I mean, they have... The game releases at the like end of March or May. Sorry. Yeah. So they have time to fix this.
I mean, it was probably, I don't know how coding works at all, but it's probably a placeholder. I mean, you saw how many characters have that pose. It's probably just a placeholder pose that the model does. Like they just, you know, probably just drag and drop it. No, I'm just kidding. But
drag and drop it.
Yeah. But it was probably just like a model that they have. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. At the end of the day,
I think it's probably a little bit of both.
If anything, what piqued my interest in the story was just, that was the big question, is like, is creative liberty at risk in gaming? I don't know. I wouldn't say it's at risk, because everyone, at the end of the day, no one's stopping anyone from doing anything that's going to offend someone. If it does, I'm sorry, that's unfortunate for those individuals, but if you're going to create something, you're putting it out there, you believe in it. If it's what you believe in and it's not hurting anyone, then by all means, go for it. Yeah, at the end of the day, you can't please everyone.
I mean, look
at the
game.
Thing, you got to make money on your game. So
that's
you got to make as many people happy as you can.
Yeah.
It's just
unfair. And that's the thing, is like, gosh, I don't even know where to go from here. I just,
I just want creators to have as much freedom, like freedom as they want.
Yeah, I want people
to
I just want game developers to make the games they want to make without having fear of there being backlash. Right. That's it. I mean, that's just that's.
But these two ideas directly conflict each other. So.
They do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've seen it really bad. Like I said, like with them adding women to games and stuff, like it's done well and it's fine and stuff. But like I said, I don't want them like just shoehorning in characters just for the sake of appeasing people. If it's not, you know, meant to be there, if it's just for no reason, I don't know. I don't think we were talking about it. Like if you're gonna add a gay character into a game or something, like that's fine. I literally don't care. I played Mass Effect, and I have nothing against gay. Not that that matters or anything. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going off on here, not to like. Crap, I don't even know what I'm saying right now.
You don't mind that there's gay people in the game?
That's
fine.
I have nothing against gay people. Not that anybody thought I did, but I'm just saying it out there. But I would have something to where if you just add in a gay dude and that's like all he talks about and stuff, and it's like, okay, I get it, you're gay. Like, that's fine, dude, but like, don't make that the main reason you're in this game. Like,
right.
Does that make sense at all?
No, I get what you're saying.
I just don't want them shoehorning in genders and stuff just for the sake of appeasing people if it like makes the story suffer and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If a gay guy's truly gay and stuff, then like, sure, we can see subtle hints about it, but like,
it shouldn't be the main. Yeah. It shouldn't be the driving force behind.
And I don't. That hasn't even been in a game. I've never played a game where that was the driving force. So there's not even an example for me to give. I just don't want it to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Which
so
even if it was a straight person walking around like I'm a straight guy and I want all the women and that's the whole point of this game. Well, that would be retarded.
Yeah. It's just.
So
yeah, I don't know.
I think at the end of the day, we all agreed that. It sucks that developers probably are in fear of offending people, which is fine. I mean, that's the world we live in. But like I said, I totally respect Phipps' opinion on stating his reasoning, giving solid points, and coming up with a solution. And I think Blizzard did the right thing at the end of the day. And regardless, I think Overwatch is going to turn out great. And like we said, we think that certain characters based upon whether it be their sexuality or their gender, blah, 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 like you said, shouldn't just be put into the game for the sake of pleasing people. If if that's a character that's going to impact a story based on a certain aspect of that of their personality or that individual, then by all means, go for it.
Yeah.
And like we said, it's not our goal to piss anyone off tonight. We just really wanted to get to the bottom of this article. I felt like out of everything this week, as far as news goes, that was definitely the most interesting to me. But
Another benefit to a game like this is that there's so many like heroes or characters in this game. Like, just focus on someone else. Like, you don't have to play as
a huge cast of characters.
Yeah,
if it offends you that much, I mean,
I don't know. I mean, there are games that have like Silent Hill 3, for instance. Like, you like literally go down to the gates of hell, and there's like pentagrams and stuff, and if I'm not mistaken, I think the main boss is like called God or something. And you know what, I didn't play that. My uncle played it, and he just turned it off. He's like, you know what, I really don't want to play this. I kind of just don't feel good doing it. And that's it. That was the end of it. I mean, that's just what you do when you're an adult.
Yeah,
you just don't let things, especially fiction. Fiction can't offend me. It's not real.
Me neither.
So just like that game Hatred that was just released, that where the entire point is you just go around just slaughtering everybody. I don't want to live in a country where that game developer doesn't have the right to make that game. Yeah, it's freaking stupid game where you're literally just committing
heinous acts of murder,
which, I mean, I play Grand Theft Auto, but it's done in such a dark way in this game where it's just like the entire point. Grand Theft Auto's point isn't to do that. You have a choice to do that. That game shouldn't not have been allowed to be made.
I agree. Everyone should have a right to create, whether it's going to offend someone or not.
Yeah. Without having the thought of it being offensive.
Exactly.
So that's the entire point of everything. Sorry. On my behalf, I've never talked about anything this serious in like on a podcast or anything. So yeah, so excuse me for my rambling if I was trying
to. No, it's fine.
You did a fine job expressing your points.
Yeah.
I definitely want to hear from our friends from the community what your thoughts on this whole debacle is. Like we said, I think all of us kind of agree we don't really get offended by anything, especially fiction. If it's something that's not hurting anyone else, I don't get upset about it. I'm like, that's whatever. So I thought it was just an interesting read, and it was just kind of interesting to see how it all played out. And So, like my final thoughts are, if someone's offended by something or something's upsetting someone, always bring a solution to the table. Instead of just blatantly complaining, come up with a solution. Whether that solution works or not, at least you tried.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think Blizzard did the right thing, and regardless, I think Overwatch is going to be great.
Yeah.
Thankfully, everyone got
it's
along
not like
in the end.
The gameplay is going to change or anything.
No,
it's
no.
Just...
So...
We'll see.
It was interesting. But yeah, everyone,
got a month to go.
Everyone, please let us know your thoughts. I'd love to also hear what you have to say and your thoughts on the whole situation as a whole. So that would be great.
Yeah.
But as far as gaming news goes, that's about all I could scrounge up. But there's a couple things I want to include movie-wise in the TV comic world that piqued my interest as well. I think I've said piqued my interest in specifically those phrases. Well, specifically is a word, but piqued my interest. I've said that phrase multiple times
in
this podcast.
Too.
They are. It's a phrase of words, though. But Batman v Superman, we reviewed it. If you guys are interested, you can check it out at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. Our review playlist is where you'll find it. Overall, we enjoyed the movie for the most part. We obviously had our complaints, but we enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And the movie had a huge opening weekend with $166 million total the opening weekend, which is a crap ton of money. Fast forward to this past weekend, it dropped by 68% in ticket sales.
Yikes.
To a whopping 52.4 for the entire weekend.
Wow.
So that is a massive drop. And do you think, this is kind of what everyone was talking about. Do you think it's purely based on all the reviews and word of mouth that people will have seen it, and then the vast majority of people that may have gone either again or gone to see it for the first time this weekend were like, well, apparently it sucks, so I'm not going to go. Do you
Maybe.
Think that's probably why?
Yeah.
Maybe. Did it come out on Easter weekend?
Yes,
it did.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's just people seeing it and one not wanting to see it again because they're like, I've had enough. This is enough right. for me. It's just an okay movie. And also telling their friends about it, maybe they don't want to go see it.
Yeah, I don't know if it has anything to
sure
do with the time
bad.
Of year, because I know there's a lot of like, I know not everyone's affected by spring break, but everyone has kids and family that have spring break this time of year. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it,
like
the time of year. But you'd think if it's a great movie, everyone's going to go see it regardless of what time of year
it is. I'm sure the reviews aren't helping it.
No, definitely not.
So, I mean, I'm sure that has an effect on it somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
no,
all
I really don't know.
I mean, at the end of the day, it has still made a crap ton of money and is still considered so far wildly successful. But I think the shock of the drastic drop between one weekend and the next was just pretty wild.
Yeah.
But transitioning kind of segue off of that, Suicide Squad is spending, this is literally a fact, tens of millions of dollars to reshoot several scenes in the movie to make it more lighthearted. And supposedly, as to what I've read, every joke that was in the movie was in the trailer already. Every single one. So apparently it's a lot darker than they advertised, which is one of my, I wouldn't say it was my concern, but one of my predictions, because as fun as the trailer is with the Bohemian Rhapsody song to it, it's like, man, this looks like a really fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was, because the trailer that came out before that was much darker. I was like, I wonder if this song is just making it look like a lot more fun than it is. Turns out that was the case, and I think their fear is that people had the assumption that Suicide Squad is going to be the more lighthearted, still some dark elements, more lighthearted, more fun DC movie that everyone's looking forward to. And I feel like if everyone went into it and it was much darker than they were expecting, there would just be more complaints probably. I can't predict the future. That may or may not have happened, but they're spending a crap ton of money to reshoot several scenes in the movie. And I was talking to you about this, I think, when we were playing Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Jared Leto, if they have to reshoot stuff with him... I would be so pissed if I was him, because not only did he remain in character for the entire filming process of that movie, and the entire production, I should say, it was like a commitment as far as his look goes, because his hair was dyed and his eyebrows were shaved, and he had to put on all the tattoos and the makeup. I'm sure was a process every day. And the fact that I don't know if they're having to reshoot stuff with Jared Leto or not, but if they are, I feel so bad for him. If I were him, I would demand a crap ton of money, especially to play a character like the Joker after just coming off of doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's pretty wild. But I thought that was interesting as far as movie news goes, just because very, very interesting how reviews and fan reception can affect a movie that doesn't come out for, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 more months.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty crazy, but
I really want that movie to be good.
Oh, me too. I have high hopes for it, because that's, if I'm not mistaken, the first movie it's kind with all comic book movie villains, all the leading roles.
If it's 3 DC movies in a row that haven't really done critically, man,
they're gonna be in a spot.
It's just not
rebooted again.
Pretty much.
Won't Wonder Woman be after that one?
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that also looks very dark
it's
from
like
the footage
they
I've
have
seen.
To get on, like, with the right foot mm-hmm. somehow. Like, why is it so hard for DC to do that? Like, besides the Nolan trilogy, like, mm-hmm. you would think that a movie with Batman versus Superman with Wonder Woman would just be killing it, like, in the reviews. But
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I don't want DC, their cinematic universe, to fail because, like I said, for the most part, I enjoyed a majority of the elements in Batman v mm-hmm. Superman, and I hope that they succeed going forward because I really like Ben Affleck. I like Henry Cavill, which everyone says, which I think it's very fair to say that he can and I think is a great Superman. I'm not a huge Superman fan, but obviously if they gave him more to do, he could be considered like the best because it isn't his acting that's bad. It's just what they give him to work
that's
with.
That's what I keep hearing is like people that I follow on Twitter and, you know, YouTube and stuff that are big Superman fans. They're like, read these comics. Like, he is actually a great character. Like, he's fantastic. And he's like, none of these movies do him like justice. None of them like make a really compelling story for him. And I heard that Man of Steel 2 is like put on a potential hold right now and stuff. And it's just like, God, Superman is just getting boned over and over.
I think it's ultimately, I don't want to throw all the blame on Zack Snyder because he's a very talented director, at least stylistically, but a lot of people are saying like maybe if he stepped away from the directing seat. If anything, I think it'd be cool if they had like a director that was purely known for his storytelling, but then also had Zack Snyder come on as like kind of directing like the action sequences and stuff could work. I've always said people were like, Michael Bay's movies could be way better if he had someone else direct the story and he directed all the action. I'm like, sounds cool to me. I don't know how that would work.
I mean, with Man of Steel not being really critically well received and now Batman versus Superman, I think it has a current score of like 29 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Holy crap.
Like, DC has, they have enough freaking money and they have, I mean, it's not like they're messing with like freaking Shazam or like Martian Manhunter kind of like, even though they're like, you know, well known in the DC community, but not to like average people. It's not like they're messing with those movies. I mean, these people, in terms of people, I mean, like Zack Snyder, he's got Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman. I mean, you would think they would have enough money to just like throw it at just somebody who knew, they knew 100% what they were doing and stuff. And it's very evident that Zack Snyder, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm so tired.
It's okay.
I've been sick all week and I took some medicine and my head's been stuffy all day. So I'm kind of just going off. Zack Snyder, you know, evidently doesn't really know 100% what to do with these characters and stuff. Yeah, it looks great and stuff. But like, I think he definitely, this is a sign he kind of needs to take a step back and they need to kind of give it to somebody else. Like you said, maybe let him make sure it looks nice and stuff. Cause that's one thing that was not wrong with the movie is it looked great.
It did.
But you know, he needs to probably take a step back. Yeah. I had a stroke saying that.
It's quite all right. Lastly, all I had on the list was the excitement that Jacob reminded me of. The Star Wars Blu-ray comes out this week digitally and, on disc, obviously. Is that April 6th? I should have looked up the date before we started.
Is it tomorrow or is it Tuesday? I don't know when movies come out. I don't usually buy movies on release day.
I can't remember, but
I think movies come out on Mondays.
Do they?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, I never bought a Blu-ray day once.
Yeah. April, that would be the 4th, maybe. I'll have to look
it up.
I'm going
to go look tomorrow.
April 6th?
I thought it was the 6th.
I think.
I got a phone.
Let's look it up. But I wanted to say mostly what I'm excited about is I think I brought this up a couple episodes ago, was the fact that they filmed, if I'm not mistaken, the entire original table reading of The Force Awakens, where the cast came together for the first time.
The entire movie.
I think so. At least that's what they made it sound like. It may be bits and pieces, which I'd also be okay with, but if I could sit and watch them read the entire script, I would sit there for 3 hours and watch them do this. I think that's awesome, because that original picture, that black and white picture they released at the cast meeting for the first time, is just iconic to me. And I think that would just be really exciting to see them all kind of experience a story unfold together for the first time. And obviously, they recently put out a small advertisement for Daisy Ridley's audition for the movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just stuff like that is what I really want to see for the movie, especially about Star Wars, because it's so fascinating. And I think all the actors and stuff that were involved in the movie, I can't imagine how thrilling that was to be a part of that experience. And
she is so attractive.
She's a very beautiful woman. She's very talented. She's very pretty.
All she's good for.
I would watch an audition tape from all those actors. I would love to see Adam Driver's audition tape. I'd love to see John Boyega's and Oscar Isaac's. I want to see like obviously not, I know this was like months and months of auditions they had to go through, but I'd love to see at least a piece of all of those to see like why, and I want to hear why like the directors and producers chose that person, these people, this cast. And I'd like to see some of their competition too. I remember on the special edition of Phantom Menace, you could watch all the younger kids that auditioned alongside, what was his name? The young kid who played Anakin. I can't remember his name all of a sudden.
The kid from Jingle All the Way.
Yeah. But it's funny because they auditioned like thousands and thousands and thousands of kids. That's not really that many. I think it was like 2,000 kids.
Really?
But yeah. Yeah, it is.
George Lucas was like, that's him.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But it was cool just to see all the other younger kids that auditioned for the part as well.
And, like young Leo tried out and George was like, no, get out of here.
Yeah. But I love seeing stuff like that, and it's stuff like that I want to see the most. I mean, obviously the deleted scenes are cool and all, but like you were saying, I don't get that excited about deleted scenes because they were deleted for a reason. But one person made a great point, which I'd like to think this would be included in the movie, but I doubt it. They're saying it'd be cool to be able to watch a version of the movie that includes all of the deleted scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, at least from what I've read, I could be wrong, that the scenes that were chosen to be deleted weren't really because, like, oh, this just sucks. I think they said, let's just condense the movie a bit. It isn't necessarily completely necessary.
Well, like, the only deleted scene I've seen is the one everybody's seen with Kylo Ren walking into the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Like, when would that
take place? That's when the Millennium Falcon, you know, they crash on Starkiller Base and they get out and go inside. Uh-huh. He takes a team to go investigate the Falcon.
Because he senses Han's there.
Right. Okay. And there's also a deleted scene. I don't know all of them, but there's a deleted scene where Finn and Rey get outside of Starkiller Base, and then obviously it cuts to them just like getting up to that ladder and going up it. Well, there's a scene where they like are chased by stormtroopers on like a snowspeeder, and there's like an action sequence on their way to that area.
Hmm.
Another is Finn and Han and Chewie, I think, and what's her name that had the lightsaber?
Rey.
No, not Rey.
Maz, yeah.
They run into a bunch of stormtroopers in the basement of her bar.
Yeah, I saw that one.
So, I mean, that stuff's cool. I mean, I'd like to watch a version of the movie with all the deleted scenes incorporated. But yeah, I'm excited for the Blu-ray. I love Star Wars. And
I'll take as much bonus stuff they want to give me.
Absolutely. Still looking forward to Lego Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
That'll be fun.
That'll be cool.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see the trailer for Lego Batman?
No.
Or the two trailers?
No.
It looks pretty hilarious. I'm excited. The Lego movie is phenomenal, and I have high hopes for the Lego Batman movie for sure.
Is that coming out to, like, theaters?
Yeah. It doesn't come out till 2017, though, I was surprised. And they're already advertising it, which I think is cool. But,
I'll get you.
But yeah, as we said, covered a lot of news, a lot of controversy as well. Hope we didn't piss anyone off. Hope you stick with us. We'd love to, at the end of the day, we want to hear your opinions on anything we discussed today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'd love to start a conversation down below. Preston, why don't you wrap us up here?
That was episode 45 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast.
You're really falling
asleep. The show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games and other such things like that.
Other entertainment subjects, specifically movies, TV,
and comics. If you can watch it on TV, we're talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Or see it in a theater or read it in a comic book.
Yeah, sure.
Which I should have said this before we ended. I'll just squeeze this in real quick. There's a image released of The Killing Joke, the Batman animated movie that's coming out for the comic.
Yeah.
Phenomenal comic. Definitely one of the darker Batman comics for sure.
That comic book triggered me.
Oh. But I actually have it sitting right there. And it seems, based on the image, they're sticking to the art style from the comic, which I think is really cool. And as we know, Kevin Conroy and... Mark Hamill himself are involved, so, and doing the voice acting for Batman and Joker, so I am super pumped, but sorry, continue.
If you liked this, give us a like on Facebook, and YouTube, and Instagram, and all that.
And Twitter.
And things you can like. You can't like on Twitter, can you?
No.
You can heart them?
You can heart them.
Can you,
that
you
is
can,
a like.
You can, okay, come heart me or like me on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Or follow us.
Or do that too.
Subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a rate if you're feeling up to
iTunes
it.
iTunes too. Write us a long, lengthy review and give us 5 stars.
Yes, that would
one
be
one or
awesome.
5 stars.
Yeah, one or five.
Nowhere in the middle.
Yeah, no twos.
Leave us a comment down below too. If we triggered you, please let us know.
Yes, we apologize.
Below.
It was not our intention.
We'll put a trigger warning at the beginning next time once we get into these heated subjects. I love that word.
Yeah.
It's great. But yeah, I enjoyed tonight with you guys.
Yeah, I enjoyed the company.
I if I'm not here next week, it's because I flew off the road in my car, so I'm pretty tired.
I hope that isn't the case.
I hope not as well. I'm going to have to go get a
Do you need a coffee?
Drink or something. No. God, no.
Coffee.
Coffee sucks.
Cup of Joe.
No. Cup of Yo.
I love coffee.
I don't like coffee.
I
like iced coffee.
Iced coffee.
Well,
good.
Have you had the frozen Chick-fil-A coffee?
No.
Yeah.
Frosted coffee.
No, what?
Frosted.
Frosted. So is it frozen? Coffee. Or is it
it's
cold?
Their iced coffee mixed with their ice cream.
No way. Holy crap.
I don't even need to tell you. This is a thing?
This is a thing. Since when?
Since about a month ago.
Wow.
I don't even need to tell you how good it is.
Dude, I already know. Yeah. I can just imagine
it. I don't even need
it.
To tell you.
Have
I can
you ever
already
had
taste
that coffee
it.
Before?
I have, yeah. Oh, I have okay. too many times, believe me.
Yeah, we had it quite
I kid nice. You not, when we worked those 14 weeks in Woodstock and that job for that church, dude, we went to Chick-fil-A every morning mm-hmm. and almost and a lot of days for lunch, too. I had a Chick-fil-A coffee, I think, 5 days a week. Every morning for 5 days a week for 14 weeks. That's
a
lot of cups of coffee.
I had a
it
Chick-fil-A
tastes like
coffee.
A bagel. I think Chick-fil-A's coffee tastes like a melted bagel.
I had a Chick-fil-A iced coffee on days I didn't mind taking a crap at work.
Yeah.
Why would you want to drink a freaking bagel, man?
Well, I didn't. I did it because we were working so hard and so long.
I wouldn't make him
long.
Drink one, too, because if he didn't, he'd just be, like, moping around all day.
I would, dude. I literally...
yeah, you're not a boring person.
Coffee ignites me for, like... 5 or 6 straight hours for the first half of the day. If I don't have it, if I haven't slept well the night before, like it's done. It's over.
It's over for me.
So, but I had too many cups of Chick-fil-A coffee. I'd
just
prefer
get another coffee. Like you can go to a gas station.
Well, there's a racetrack across the street, but it was just easier to go through the drive-through of Chick-fil-A every morning. And it's the funniest
whatever
thing.
Works.
When we did our taxes this year, I was going through all my receipts. I counted probably three or 400 receipts from Chick-fil-A. It was
That's
something
so
insane
funny.
Like that. It was unreal how many Chick-fil-A meals
when
I had.
I counted how much money I spent on food. Holy
yeah.
crap!
It's ridiculous.
It was disturbing.
I'm talking like
thousands.
Much.
Yeah, I think I was in the $3,000 range. If
I know.
I'm not mistaken.
All right, it was work food, so right. I wrote that.
Arguably,
off.
It was all yep. paid for.
Arguably,
yeah.
Well, it was
for the most part.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was.
I probably spent about the same. Oh, fuck, just, yeah.
Well, you gotta eat
so
sometime.
Well, it wasn't paid for.
No,
it was
reimbursed.
It was work. No, it wasn't.
Well, not those weeks, no. But when we travel somewhere, it is.
No, well, they're not for food. They're not technically. It's not for food because if it was, then we couldn't write it off.
That's true. Yeah. It's for other things.
For things. Yeah.
We've been exposed.
Talk to our lawyers.
We can never appear on the internet again.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't even know about it. I just did it on TurboTax, and it's done.
Yep.
Cheers.
And cheers. Cheers to doing taxes.
Yes, it was fun.
This is quite the closing.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry for where we apologize for rambling on, but if you made it this far, thank you so much.
Yep.
We love each and every one of you. Yep. God bless all of you. Have an excellent week.
Yes, we'll see you next week on this thing. Bye.
The It's Obvious Podcast. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.